Hello, beloved, and welcome to this, the sixth part of our mini-series on the beauty of Pentecost. We are speeding towards the end of the series, and it was such a blessing to prepare each and every message. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I've also learned so much, just some of it just a renewal of things that we know, just kind of a reminder of the amazing thing called Pentecost, or that amazing day called Pentecost. Right, so up to this point in our mini-series, we've actually looked at God's indwellings, and then we also looked at some evidence which shows that someone is indeed indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then yesterday we looked at the life of the Apostle Paul, who was prepared by the Holy Spirit, and who actually sets an example like very few of what it means to be obedient to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit prompts and guides. Amazing. Now today, what we're going to try to do is to answer the question, and the question is, what does the Holy Spirit do in us? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at 9 things that the Holy Spirit does in us as revealed to us in Scripture. Now, obviously, this is not exhaustive, but it's just for us to kind of have something to think about. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, works in us, what does He do in us? So we're going to look at 9 things. D.L. Moody said the following, and I quote, "You might as well try to hear without ears, or breathe without lungs, as try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart." And isn't that so true? You see, that's the beauty of Pentecost, is that God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, came and indwelled believers. He is God in us. Now, for anyone to live the Christian life, it takes the Holy Spirit to enable the believer to do so. And the Holy Spirit does it from within the believer. You see, that's the beauty of Pentecost. God, the Holy Spirit, working from within, working in us. Wow. And it's God. God, the Holy Spirit, who decided that He will indwell His own people, so that they can live the kind of Christian life that He wants them to live, that He intended them to live. All right, so with that being said, let's look at what the Holy Spirit does in us. But before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this wonderful privilege again to listen to Your Word, to look at this amazing topic of Your Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity coming and dwelling in us, and what He does in us. Make it alive in us today, please. Help us to understand. Help us to take it to heart. And enable me as Your servant, Father, to teach Your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is to make us focus our attention on Christ Jesus. You will notice that before you got saved, your attention was on the things of this world. You were just concerned about what kind of job you're going to have, what kind of vehicle you're going to drive, what kind of house you're going to have, or how much money you're going to have. All these things of the world just consumed your heart. But the day you became born again, the day the Holy Spirit came and indwelled you, from that day onwards, it is as if the focus of your life changed. And I hope it's true in your life, because if your focus is not on Christ, then there's something wrong, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's the one thing we should not forget about the Holy Spirit, is the fact that He is not doing His own thing apart from God the Father and apart from God the Son. You see, the work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in our lives is to make Jesus Christ known to us, to enable us to understand that Jesus Christ is real, that He's alive. Not only when He was on this earth, but now, here, this moment. In a sense, we can say that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ a reality to us. And the thing is, God the Holy Spirit does not place any focus on Himself, but rather on Christ. And He decided that that's the way it was going to be. And by the way, this is how we know if the Holy Spirit is at work or if it is another spirit that is at work. You see, the Holy Spirit will always turn our focus towards Christ Jesus. John 15 verse 26. This is what we read. He says, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus is speaking, "whom I will or shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father," listen to what Jesus says, what will He do? "He will testify of Me." That's what the Spirit will do. The Spirit will come as a helper, that's for sure. He is sent to us from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. It is Christ Jesus who sends the Holy Spirit. But what the Spirit will do is He will testify about Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. John 16 verse 14 says, "He will glorify Me." That means the Spirit will glorify Christ. "For He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." So the Holy Spirit will always declare things about Christ. Peter said in Acts chapter 5 verse 32, "And we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." Peter says, they are, or the disciples are, witnesses of the things that they've seen, but the Holy Spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, this is what we read, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So, nobody speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed, and nobody that has the Holy Spirit can say that Jesus is Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that enables somebody to do that. You see, the focus is on Christ. 1 John chapter 4 verse 2 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." And obviously he continues to say that every spirit who does not confess Jesus came in the flesh is of Antichrist. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't draw any attention to Himself, but He focuses our attention on Christ Jesus, our Lord. And by the way, I think God is amazing in the way that He chooses, or He chose, let me put it in past tense, the way that He chose to show us whether it is the Holy Spirit at work or whether it's another spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will always focus our attention on Jesus Christ. Another spirit will take the attention away from Christ and place it on something else, something secondary, something other than Jesus Christ. It might even place the focus on that spirit itself. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit is at work in the believer, it will be seen in the focus that that believer has on the person of Jesus Christ. See, if the focus is on the Holy Spirit or on the Spirit, or if the focus is on the believer, or the focus is on anything else, it's not the Holy Spirit that is at work. It's another spirit. So praise the Lord for giving us such a simple test to see if something is from the Holy Spirit or from another spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the focus away from us, takes the focus away from Himself, and He places it on Christ Jesus. He will lead us away from loving ourselves to loving Christ more. Whenever the Holy Spirit works in us, we will see that our focus will be on Christ Jesus and on His glory. Now, the second thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is to make us more like Christ. Not only does the Holy Spirit focus our attention on Jesus Christ, He actually changes us continually into the image and likeness of Christ. See, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to make us walk like Jesus did, talk like Jesus did, be obedient as Jesus was obedient, become like Jesus in every aspect of our spiritual walk. Now, there's one important point that needs to be made about the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That is actually in His name. He is called Holy Spirit. Now, when we think of what the Holy Spirit does in us, it's actually obvious to assume that He will make us holy because He is holy. Why will He make us holy? Because Jesus Christ was holy. Jesus Christ, in fact, is holy. Yes, He became sin for us. He took our sin upon Himself, but He lived a perfectly holy life. So we can say in a general sense that the Holy Spirit produces holiness in us. He will convict us of sin. He will lead us to become more like Christ Jesus in holiness. In a more specific sense, He will change us into the image and likeness of Christ, that we become more and more and more and more like Jesus. Beloved, as we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, I believe that He will strip away our love for sin and make us more like Jesus Christ in every single way possible. Now, the third thing the Holy Spirit does in us is He helps us to understand the Bible. Now, there is a truth that we sometimes forget, and that is that the Holy Spirit is actually the author of the Bible. And that there is a very strong bond between the Holy Spirit and the Word. You see, we can say that the relationship of the Holy Spirit and the Bible is twofold. First, He inspired the writing of the Bible. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who worked in each one of the writers of the Bible to write down what we have today as the Bible. The Bible is the words which the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. He's the one who authored it through the writers. But there's a second relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Bible, and that is that He is the one who helps us to understand the Bible. Not only did He inspire it, He helps us to understand it. And it's actually very simple to understand. If He is the one who inspired the writers, then He will obviously be the one who enables us to understand what He inspired. See, when it comes to understanding a passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to understand what it means and how we should apply it in our lives. The Holy Spirit will work through our personal reading of the Bible. He may decide to use friends and family in our lives, specifically saved ones, because those who are not saved, they struggle to understand the Bible. In fact, I don't think they can really understand the fullness of the Bible because they do not have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will use our personal reading of the Bible. He can use family and friends and those who preach and teach the Word of God faithfully. He can use all of those to help us to understand the Bible better. And let me tell you, if you sit with the Bible and you don't understand what the Bible teaches, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, or maybe you should just ask Him. Ask the Lord to help you to understand the Word, and you will be amazed that the Lord will open up the Word to you, and you will understand it. Obviously, it's going to take time, because He might open up something now, and He might open up something else later, and eventually, over years, you realize, wow, I've just gained so much. I just understand so much more about the Scriptures. And that is all because the Holy Spirit is the one who actually teaches us, who actually enables us to understand the Bible. Now, the fourth thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is He calls us to ministry. Ah, wait a minute. You might think that ministry is only for pastors, you know, and elders and missionaries and evangelists and those people that are called to specific ministries. Nope, that's not true. Every single believer who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit is called to ministry. You see, the Holy Spirit not only calls people to faith in Jesus Christ, but He calls us as believers to a specific ministry or a specific task. And I want you to understand this. Your decision to take up a career or a direction of study or whatever you think of what you want to do with your life, these things are all subject to the ministry or the task that the Spirit calls you to. I believe that too many believers make choices based on worldly standards. You know, like, what did my parents do? Or what does my parents want, or what does the world want, what will give me a lot of money, what will give me a lot of prestige, and all these kind of things. We use worldly standards to make our choices with regards to our futures, rather than in than making choices in accordance to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit leads you in a specific profession, it's because He has a purpose for it. And we should be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in every choice that we make. Now, there are a few examples of people who were used by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. The Holy Spirit, for example, asked for Barnabas and Saul to be set apart for the work, if this is what the text says in Acts chapter 13, for the work to which He called them, and that He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one who led Philip to help the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, you remember, for him to understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit even prevented Paul from entering specific regions to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because those were not the areas or the regions that he was supposed to go in at that specific stage, because the Holy Spirit is in charge. And if Paul was not sensitive enough, the Holy Spirit would prevent him. Now, there are times when the Holy Spirit will supernaturally guide us in the directions that we need to, or the decisions that we need to make and the directions we need to go in. But normally, the Holy Spirit guides us through the normal things in life. You see, as you trust God, as you read your Bible, as you seek godly counsel, you will find that the Holy Spirit will guide you into the work that He has called you to. He will guide you in the direction that you need to go. But you got to walk with Him. You got to closely walk with Him. You got to walk in step with the Spirit. This brings us to the fifth thing that the Holy Spirit does in us, and that is He empowers us for our calling. That means, or this means, that He is the one who enables us to do what He actually calls us to do. In the Old Testament, we have examples of the Holy Spirit enabling people like Joshua and David and Solomon and name it, many others. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled them to accomplish what they were called to do. In the New Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to fulfill His earthly ministry, how He worked in the early disciples, how the Holy Spirit worked in people to spread the gospel. Because He is the one who called people to preach the gospel, and He is the one who enables them to preach and to share the gospel. So the Holy Spirit, as He works in us, is the one who empowers us for our calling, for whatever spiritual calling He has called us to. Now, the sixth thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is He helps us to pray. This is amazing, because we would think, no, when we pray, we are just speaking to God. No, the Holy Spirit is active in helping us in our prayer life. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, beloved, there will be times when you will feel inadequate in your prayer life. You might have no idea what to pray for. I believe it's in those moments that the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. Now remember, next time when you find yourself in a situation where you just don't know what to pray or how to pray, just ask the Lord to help you, and the Holy Spirit will help you in your weakness. Right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He helps us in our prayer life. Now the seventh thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is He guides us. Well, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, we read about the Holy Spirit guiding the leaders in Antioch. And this is what we read: "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Acts chapter 16, verse 6 says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. We've just touched on this before, hey? Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It was Jesus who was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, we read about in Matthew chapter 4. It was the Holy Spirit who provided direct guidance to Philip when he ministered to the eunuch. You see, the Holy Spirit always guides us. We can fully trust Him. I read somewhere, don't just pray and wait for a particular feeling. Pray and prepare yourself for action. That's important. Right, this brings us to the eighth thing that the Holy Spirit does in us. And that is that He is the one who empowers us in building the church. Now, beloved, we need to understand and we need to just take it to heart and understand and realize that Jesus Christ is alive. And He is still building His church, even today. And how is Jesus building His church? We know that He is not building His church through political engagements or with military might. No, 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 no. His church is being built through the proclamation of the gospel. People that go out and preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when people come to salvation, they become part of the church. When they become part of the church, Jesus is building His church. Because He's the one who calls people to proclaim the gospel. He's the one who draws people to Himself. He's the one who saves them. He's the one who keeps them until the time that He will take them into eternity with Him. Praise the Lord! Jesus didn't leave us as orphans to do the proclamation of the gospel all by ourselves, to build the church. He sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to witness, to preach the gospel. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to be effective witnesses. He directs our evangelistic efforts. He is the one who empowers our evangelistic efforts. Not only directs it, but He empowers us. We are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who is building the church on Christ's behalf, and He uses us to do that. That's what He does in us, enabling us, empowering us to preach the gospel so that the church can be built. Then the ninth thing, the last thing that the Holy Spirit does in us that we're going to look at, is He gives us spiritual gifts. Now, wow. This is a very controversial topic in the Christian world, and it's been for many, many, many years. So I'm not going to try to solve the issue now, because it's going to take too much time. Now, it all depends on which theological framework, if I may, you accept, which one you fall in, what your view on the spiritual gifts will be. So I'm going to keep to it to what I know for sure that the Bible teaches. We know that the Holy Spirit works through us by giving us spiritual gifts. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He doesn't give us these gifts for our personal benefit. No, He gives us these gifts for the common good of the church. And this means that we receive spiritual gifts for building up the church. And He also gives the gifts so that we may serve others. Now, when we go to the scriptures, we will see that there are many spiritual gifts that are listed. For example, in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, whether you believe the extraordinary gift stopped or not, the thing is that God, the Holy Spirit, is the source of all the gifts, and the gifts are intended for a purpose. I am in the camp that believes that the extraordinary gifts have stopped. But it was originally given by the Holy Spirit. He was the source of the gifts, and He gave it to the disciples and those who laid the foundation of the church for a specific purpose. But once that purpose was fulfilled, once we received the Word of God as God's final revelation, there was no longer need for revelation gifts. That's what I personally believe that Scripture teaches. But the Holy Spirit is the source of the gifts, and He gives it to his people. By the way, we don't get to choose what kind of gifts we receive. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. Even if people claim to have the gift of tongues and say that, oh, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit today if you have the gift of tongues. No. Scripture is clear. Not everybody gets all the gifts. The Holy Spirit decides which gift He's going to give to which person. So He decided to give the gift of tongues and, well, the revelation gifts to the people who laid the foundation of the church. To us, He gives the ministering gifts because we are busy ministering within the church, within the body of Christ. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. As I said, it's going to take too much time. But the spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit, and the focus is His glory. It will always exalt Christ. It will always place Christ above all else. And it's for the good of the church. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifts. But we receive spiritual gifts. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. So let me summarize as I conclude. You see, the beauty of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And as the Holy Spirit indwells us, He then works in us as believers. He makes us focus our attention on Jesus Christ. He causes us to look more and more like Jesus Christ. Furthermore, He helps us to understand the Bible. And He is the one who calls us to ministry. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us for our calling. And He is the one who helps us to pray. He guides us. He empowers us to build the church that Jesus is building. And He is the one who gives us spiritual gifts for His glory and for the good of the church. This is the beauty of Pentecost. God, the Holy Spirit, living in us and working in us. And you know what? When I was preparing, I had one word after I went through all of this. And that word is wow. Wow, wow, wow. Isn't Pentecost beautiful? Don't we serve an amazing, awesome God? Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the indwelling Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Thank You that He works in us. Oh, thank You so much. Thank You that we can look at Pentecost, the beauty of Pentecost, and understand it to be the beauty that the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, came and indwelled believers like us. Oh, thank You for it, Father. I pray during this week that we will ponder and think about these things, and that we will work with You as You work in us. Please, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thank you very much for listening. This was part 6 of our mini-series on the beauty of Pentecost. I hope it's been a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to me. Now, God willing, part 7 is going to be from church, from the auditorium. It will be a live broadcast where I will close this mini-series with part 7. Of this mini-series on the beauty of Pentecost. Thank you for listening. God willing, until tomorrow when we end off this mini-series, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He give you His peace. And may you experience the work of the Holy Spirit in you as you obediently follow Him and do as He leads. Thank you very much. Till next time, God willing. Bye-bye.